every day, Mass is celebrated at St. Dominic's Chapel at the Chancery Offices of the Archdiocese of Atlanta. The following is a recording of today's readings and homily from a previous year.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. The apostles and the brothers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles too had accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers confronted him, saying, "You entered the house of the uncircumcised people and ate with them." Peter began and explained it to them step by step, saying, "I was at a prayer in the city of Joppa, when in a trance I had a vision, something resembling a large sheet coming down, lowered from the sky by its four corners, and it came to me. Looking intently into it, I observed and saw the four-legged animals of the earth, the wild beasts, the reptiles, and the birds of the sky. I also heard a voice say to me, 'Get up, Peter, slaughter and eat.' But I said, 'Certainly not, sir, because nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time, a voice from heaven answered, 'What God has made clean, you are not to call profane.' This happened three times, and then everything was drawn up again into the sky. Just then, three men appeared at the house where we were, who had been sent to me from Caesarea. The Spirit told me to accompany them without discriminating. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He related to us how he had seen the angel standing in his house, saying, 'Send someone to Joppa and summon Simon, who is called Peter, who will speak words to you by which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift he gave to us when we came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to be able to hinder God?" When they heard this, they stopped objecting and glorified God, saying, "God has then granted life-giving repentance to the Gentiles too." The word of the Lord. Athirst is my soul for the living God. Athirst is my soul for the living God. As the hind longs for the running waters, so my soul longs for you, O God. Athirst is my soul for God, the living God. When shall I go and behold the face of God? Athirst is my soul for the living God. Send forth your light and your fidelity. They shall lead me on and bring me to your holy mountain, to your dwelling place. Athirst is my soul for the living God. Then will I go into the altar of God, the God of my gladness and joy. Then will I give you thanks upon the harp, O God, my God.
Athirst is my soul for the living God.
Alleluia, alleluia.
Alleluia,
I am the good shepherd, says the Lord. I know my sheep, and mine know me.
Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere, is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice, as he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven out all his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him because they do not recognize the voice of strangers. Although Jesus used this figure of speech, they did not realize that he was trying to tell them. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
One of the interesting things about Easter is that we go through the book of the Acts of the Apostles, but I always like how the church was getting, the early church, that they didn't call themselves a church back then, but how little by little they were working in their own identity, not isolating, but differentiating themselves from Judaism, and not being influenced by all these other forms of living Judaism, you know, the Zealots, the Pharisees, and all that. They were trying to make their own way of life. That is the reason they were called the Way at the beginning, because they wanted to be God himself, God the Spirit, tried to form the new identity of these chosen people. And we heard today that this, in this passage of the Acts of the Apostle, that if you read it to someone as, you know, you say, well, Peter just came with it, so it opened the kingdom to everybody. But Peter couldn't do that. He didn't have the authority of Jesus Christ. Well, at that very moment, now we know how it develops later on. But can you imagine these people, this group of people, is kind of concretizing what the teachings of Jesus, because they don't know how to really live what Jesus has left them behind, other than this specific signs of his own apostles. That is the reason they will refer all the matters of faith and practices to the apostles, because those were the ones that heard all the teachings of Jesus, even though some of them didn't pay attention, or they were concerned about something else, just like us in life. But what I try to say is, this new identity keeps being formed and shaped by the Holy Spirit. What has to do with us? Sometimes that same thing happens, not sometimes, all the time happens in our lives. The Lord Jesus, through the Spirit, tries to give us a new identity every time and guide us through changes in our own life. But sometimes we reject those changes because we think that they don't come from God. Every time that life, God reshapes our life and the perspective of the way we see life, we should pay attention to the Spirit. Sometimes we think our best plan is the plan, but God throws that down and let us know how he really wants us to work in something. So I always had my thing, I had a pastor, and I only have had two pastors in my life, so you will guess who this pastor is. He will say, oh, let the Spirit, let's see what the Spirit said, and I will go like, they are waiting for a decision outside the door. We need to make a decision right now. Oh, let's see what the Spirit says. And at that moment, I didn't understand completely what it was. But then as we read the book of the Acts of the Apostles, that is what is happening. It is not something that we just come up in a dialogue. It's we are open to what the Spirit is guiding us and leading us, because that is precisely what he did in the beginning of the church. We can have great ideas, but if they are not inspired by the Spirit, they will not unite, they will separate, they will scatter. Of course, people will like, nowadays you cannot please everybody. You are not a $100 bill. That pleases everybody. But we are not a $100 bill. We are disciples of Jesus Christ, and probably, according to the numbers, 85% of the people we live with, they will not like the way we do it, things. And that's okay. In the gospel today, we continue to hear the parable of the Good Shepherd, how God analogically expresses himself, because was Jesus a shepherd? No. He was a carpenter. But what he's saying with comparing himself with the shepherd is precisely he fulfills the role of a shepherd in the church and in the world. When he says, I'm the gate, can you imagine when the apostles were hearing that? Are we following the God the Son or this guy that is nuts? He's saying that he's the gate. Come on. But that yesterday, the gospel taught us something very special. That they recognized he was God the Son, not because whatever came out of his mouth makes sense intellectually, but it made sense according to the gift of knowledge that is given by the Spirit. There was an openness of life, not an openness of mind only. An openness of heart and soul, not just a logical line of thought in what Jesus was saying. And I always say when the church expressed herself in three ways. First, theology. And when theology is exhausted, then we go to philosophy. And when the philosophy is exhausted, then we go to poetry. Because poetry will express exactly what we try to express, even though the terms don't make sense logically. But we know it makes sense in our hearts and in our minds if we are open. So when Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, it is not that saying that he is physically a shepherd. In poetry, he's expressing analogically the role he fulfills in our life and in the world. And I invite you to read the sequence of Corpus Christi that we are approaching. Read that sequence. Makes no sense. Logically. But you will understand what Thomas Aquinas tried to say. Even though, if you are a grammar teacher, he will fail the test. But that is precisely the way God expresses in the world. Maybe it will not make logical sense of what he's asking of us, but God really makes sense on the things that matter, the things of eternal life and the things of heaven.